Good morning, and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Barber Marina, Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazines, Richardson's Map Tech, Passage Maker Troller Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications, invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you whether you are dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our store at www.greatloop.org/store. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Welcome everyone. This is AGLCA's weekly blog talk radio show. With us today is Steve. Beth is actually on vacation today, so she's not with us. For those non-members out there listening to the show, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, the inland waterways, the Gulf Intracoastal waterways, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and, of course, the Great Lakes. Our organization is based on a sense of sharing adventure and curiosity about the loop. Our purpose is to disseminate information and enhance the overall experience. Our website is www.greatloop.org, and we'd love for you to become a member. Our guest host this week is Mike Ahart, news editor of AGLCA, Admiral Sponsor Waterway Guide. Mike's in our queue, and he'll be on in a minute. He'll be talking about the status of the inland river system, the shoaling at Happy's Marina, and also about anchorages along the river system. Very unfortunately, we had invited Fern of Happy's to join us today. We just called her to get her online and found out she has a news reporter with her and will not be able to join us. So we'll go ahead with Mike. And Steve, can you let him in the queue? And our toll-free number for questions is 877-497-1815. We encourage questions, so just let us know if you'd like to ask Mike or anyone else, Steve or myself, a question. Mike, welcome.
Well, hello.
How you doing today?
I'm good. I apologize. I had a little trouble with phones this morning. But I'm here.
Thank you very much. I'm disappointed that Fern can't join us, but I'm sure you can give us a nice status and an update.
Oh,
tell us about the river system. What's going on right now with Isaac?
Well,
I think we just lost our connection. If everyone could be patient, let me see what I can do.
Mike,
here we come back again. It's a rough morning today. Mike and Steve, are you there?
Yep.
I'm here.
Hey, Mike. Isaac, what's going on?
Isaac is moving up and moving across pretty much everywhere that we need water right now. I'm looking right now at some total rainfall estimates that show that, you know, through Missouri and Illinois and Indiana, so basically the Mississippi and the Ohio, they're expected to get quite a bit of rainfall. So hopefully that will help the levels on the inland systems, you know, here in short order. It's hard to tell how much it will help. I'm sure there's experts that can figure that one out, but at least it's going to be some relief.
Right now, is it a dangerous situation for our boaters out there, or is it pretty just heavy rain? Is there wind again?
You know, I would guess that the wind and the rain probably aren't a specific problem at this point because the winds have died down quite a bit. It's going to be heavy, but I think people do have to kind of keep their eye open for situations where there's a lot of current and a lot of deadheads and other things that could be flying down the rivers. It might not be a bad idea if they're in the system is to find a place to hole up until this kind of, you know, settles down.
A day or two. We've heard from a couple of our marinas in the area, and they fared pretty well. Everybody's open, so it wasn't too much damage that we've heard of. What are the challenges for the inland rivers this year?
Well, I think we've seen them all this year. I think, you know, obviously low water has been the big one. And it's not that there's spots in the channel where you were going to bump the bottom or anything. It's that some parts can be so low as that the commercial tugs and the barges are getting stuck, and that can block your way. Plus, the it's not the depth as much as it's the width. You know, the channel used to be hundreds and hundreds of, you know, feet wide, and now it's, you know, some places 100 or something like that. So passing tugs and things like that can be a challenge. Plus, you know, the low water causes some of the side channel entrances and the wing dams and stuff to have less water. So some of the anchoring spots or places to pull off that are normally used can't be used right now. Hopefully they'll be able to be used after the storm system goes through. So my best advice is be prepared and use the resources that you have. Planning comes first. Use the greatloop.org site and guidebooks like Skipper Bob and Waterway Guide and others for basic preparation. You plan your trip, know what you're going to need to know, how far you can comfortably cruise each day with your boat, the places you can stop for the night, and contingency plans for when things don't go as planned. You know, use the experience, too, of the cruisers you meet along the way. See how they're planning. So that's like the planning part. But probably more important this year is to keep up on the conditions out there. You need to follow the Great Loop Forum especially. You've got your fellow cruisers posting there with updates every day, where they anchor, experiences at the locks, dredging, and just about everything else. Now, Ted Staley and I, we post on our sites, but also on the Great Loop Forum. If any locks are scheduled for closures or if a grounding closes a section, we'll post that on the forum. Chuck from Marina Life, Alan Lloyd of Navigation Notes. I see a whole bunch of pros here working for you.
And there have been a very, very rewarding number of posts. Yeah, Alan's great. Chuck is wonderful. Ted is fantastic. If anyone is in the area and wants to know the status or if something is closed, do check the forum, because Ted is meticulous. He'll let you know if something is closed, as is Chuck, Chuck Bear of Marina Life. Our sponsors are just fantastic. Okay, I'm so disappointed we don't have Fern, but Mike, can you give us an update on what's going on with the Corps of Engineers?
Well, they just had a presentation. I unfortunately wasn't there. They had a presentation to the Mississippi River Commission and to the Army Corps at that meeting in Alton. I think some of the Great Loop members were there.
They had planned to be, yes.
Yeah, and I think they made their point. They got a lot of information across. I think they felt that at least the MRC was very receptive, listened very carefully to what they were saying. They gave them apparently a whole big presentation packet that not only included the, I think at that point it was 253 signatures, and I know that that's grown quite a bit since then, but they also had before and after photos of the marina showing, you know, how the dikes have, you know, caused the silting in that, you know, could possibly close the marina, you know, who knows when, but it certainly isn't helping the people that are cruising this year.
We have, I think, last count, close to 800 signatures on the petition. We committed to send it to the congressman and the Corps on September 20th. I think once we get to 1,000, we're just going to go ahead and release it and send it. That's such an impressive number. I thank everybody, members and non-members, who have helped out.
That is great.
And if you haven't responded to that, please do. It's on our website, and anybody can sign the petition.
Yeah, you don't have to be a member. It's open to the public, and it's www.greatloop.org. From the menu on the left, Hoppy's Marina, information about Hoppy's Marina. Steve, we're going to break for a quick commercial. Can you go ahead and start that for us?
I can.
Thank you.
Did you know that every mile of the Great Loop is covered by both the Waterway Guide and Skipper Bob? Use them to plan your Great Loop cruise and learn about the places you can visit. In the cockpit, important navigation info is always ready at your side, plus marina listings, anchorages, services, and so much more. Each Skipper Bob and Waterway Guide is updated yearly. and waterwayguide.com and skipperbob.net keep you current with navigation alerts, cruising news, fuel prices, and special deals. With the Waterway Guide and Skipper Bob at the helm, you'll always be on course. Order yours today at the AGLCA Ship Store at greatloop.org. Waterway Guide and Skipper Bob are proud sponsors at the Admiral level with AGLCA.
Just an extra bit of information. Steve and I don't leave on a cruise without our Waterway Guide. It comes up to the helm with us daily. I love it. Mike, can you give us a little bit of information? Or do you have detailed information on which anchorages are open and which are silted in at this point?
Well, I don't have firsthand that I can kind of update on some of the ones around Hoppy's because I talked to Fern at length about a week ago. And, you know, conditions do change. She did indicate that there's that the Little River Diversion Channel is closed. I think that was the case last year. That used to be used a lot. But the one, let me look in my book here. The one river is actually open. They dredged, I've got to remember what the name of it is. Starts with a K. Yeah, I was hoping she would cover that.
That's okay. I don't want to put you on the spot. We had hoped Fern could give us some up-to-date information on locks and anchorages, but since she's not here, I don't expect you to be able to. Again, I apologize. We'll see if we can get Fern on in the next week or two, but she is a super busy lady.
Well,
I don't
I can
imagine
get...
you have any update on locks, Mike, or is that something Fern was going to handle?
No, I've got pretty much what the where we are on the locks. Now, the one thing about the anchorages, and this is very important, is you know everyone that comes down the river, they've got to go to Hoppy's. They've got to hang out there and talk to Fern, be part of her briefing, because that's basically what she told me, and it's the up-to-date information. So even if I had what she told me last week, what she tells you when you get there is much more important. Because she'll get you through that 250 mile of next few days of yours, and she will know exactly where you can and where you can't stay.
And I understand she has a daily briefing for all of the boats that are at her marina.
Absolutely, and it's mandatory. She will not let you leave without you doing that. In fact, she won't let you tie up unless you approach the dock exactly the way that she tells you to. She won't even grab your line. So that's the way she rolls, and she's an amazing lady.
What a carriage. I wish we could talk to her.
Now, back to the locks. I mean, right now the conditions, I know that the Ohio River locks, I was hoping to get some insight from Ted because he knows all about it, but the until November 17th, there's going to be maintenance closures at the lock 53 at mile 962.6 of the Ohio River. And they're building a new lock there, I think, to replace the two locks. So they've got an alternate channel as well that may or may not be open. And they also have the main chamber, which may have 2 to 4 hours of closures at any time. So the important thing is to call ahead and find out what's going on at that lock before you get up to it. And this is good advice for everything. Call these locks. The Waterway Guide, the Skipper Bob's, probably other publications, we have all of their phone numbers. You can call on the phone, call ahead. It's probably easier than calling on the radio because of the range. But not only that will they tell you the status of the lock and what to expect, but they can also tell you where to tie up for the night or where to anchor for the night because they know their areas very well. Now, as far as on the Great Loop itself, the only other notes I have is that there's some military training down on Tennessee River on September 11th. And there's also the on next page, yes. There's also the Montgomery and Rankin locks. These were reported a long time ago, but I guess it's probably good to remind people. that both of those locks are closed from the 1st of September, so that's tomorrow, through the 16th of September. Now, that's kind of down the way, so I don't think too many people are in that area, and they'll probably not get there till later, but I guess anyone who's way ahead of schedule needs to know that. And that's on the Tennessee Tom Bigbee Waterway at miles 406.7 and 398.4. And there's a couple other closures that are on side trips, the Cumberland River and on the Tennessee River, but neither of those closures are on the way. So I won't cover them here, but go and look at them on our site or elsewhere to keep up on those.
Okay, so right now nothing's going to affect all of you great loopers who are coming to our rendezvous, correct?
Ooh, we hope not.
We will keep in touch through the forum. Steve, do you have any questions?
Well, it's not questions. I have a couple of observations. And the first one is, today is, you know, why a lot of people don't do live shows and they record them, because this was a total wing it. But the other observation I have is, over the years, it seems like every year there is some fairly big deal that we have to cope with. And I mean, last year it was the Erie Canal getting shut down, and the year before that it was the carp barriers, and the year before that it was flooding on the Mississippi. But it's just every year there's some major event that nobody can control that people have to deal with.
Well, they say the Great Loop is an adventure, and our members and loopers are adventurous, resourceful people, and I think it just kind of a little bit adds to the excitement and adds to the sense of accomplishment when you finish the loop.
What? You know, most of our folks are very resourceful about and good-natured about those kind of things, and I always remember it's got to be 7 or 8 years ago, but the Erie Canal was closed for flooding, and we had a bunch of people stranded there. And the towns took the people in and made them part of the family. But one town, there were 4 or 5 boats, and the fire department was taking the fire trucks, putting all the people on the fire trucks and taking them to the stores. So the one complaint we got was, gee, they wouldn't even let us blow the siren. So that's the kind of attitude you see with these folks, which is usually just fun.
Great. Mike, do you have anything you want to add?
Well, the only thing to add to that is also just the way that cruisers lend a hand to not only other cruisers but everybody else out there. It's such a great community of people. And I think that that's why no matter what happens, no matter what the challenges are, sometimes that becomes your most memorable trips. Sometimes you don't remember that beautiful night in the anchorage, but you remember that time where you had several other people help you through a difficult situation. And you can't find better people out there.
Agreed.
Well, I don't know if it was the same group I was talking about or a different group, but the same year there were 4 or 5 boats stranded together. And the first thing they did, I think they were Lock 4 in the Erie, so they formed the Lock 4 Yacht Club.
Yes, I remember that. They're stuck between the locks for a week or two.
So they made a big party out of it.
Well, I think that's it for this week. Next week we will be having Jerry Nesson, president of ValveTech, on our show. He'll be talking about preparing your marine fuel for the winter. It is important. And I guess that's it for this week. Mike, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And thank you, Steve.
Chat for us, and we'll keep in touch. Steve?
Yep. Talk to you all soon.
Okay. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.